are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So teaching the importance of forgiveness within the family is crucial for fostering healthy relationships, emotional well-being and spiritual growth. By prioritizing forgiveness within the family, parents foster an environment of love, reconciliation and spiritual growth that strengthens relationship and nurtures emotional well-being. And we do know that a lot of families, when it comes to forgiveness, it becomes an issue. So we are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Mapumalanga. I think Pastor Shadus must come to South Africa. This name here, it's like one of the provinces here in Sata. Pastor Mapumalanga Thomas there. My pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I am good, Mfundiswami. Thank you so much for coming through to come and speak to us.
You're most welcome. It's my pleasure.
Indeed. Your name reminds me of home because I'm from Mpumalanga, you know. So if I just remove the A there by the M, you are from here in Sata.
I wish to visit that province one of these days.
You must, hey, you must. Maybe you are as lovely as the provinces because it's a very lovely province and it's very warm.
Wow. One of these days, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully, Mfundi. So, Mfundi, before we get into the issue of forgiveness, I'm going to ask that before we start, can you please offer a word of prayer?
All right, thank you. Let us pray together. Our gracious, loving Father, we say thank you this morning for a privilege like this one that we can discuss about matters of forgiveness, especially pertaining to our families. We want to pray, loving Father, in a special way that may the Holy Spirit be the minister convicting us of this truth, because we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, how do you define forgiveness within the context of family relationships? Because, you know, sometimes even when you're going home, for example, as we travel in December and whatnot, whenever there are those family gatherings and stuff like that, you can still see there's no forgiveness here. Or when the people start speaking, people will tell you about things that happened long years ago because there was never forgiveness. But then now, how do we define forgiveness in the family setting?
All right, thank you very much. Forgiveness in a family setting can best be described not by words, because a lot of us describe it by words, but forgiveness goes way more beyond words. It is letting go of the bitterness and moving forward in freedom, letting go of the anger and moving forward with the joy. It is the letting go of the wrath so that you can move on with the peace for everyone in the family. And it is crucial for family development. And this happens whether the wrongdoer recognizes or acknowledges, or even though they have not yet apologized, forgiveness can happen. So forgiveness is the letting go of the bitterness. Just as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says, let go of all this wrath. Mm. You know, the Bible says, let me just read it. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and evil speaking be put away from you. Now, the word forgiveness, actually, it comes from the Greek word, which simply means to let go. Meaning, while there's forgiveness in families, there has to be an action of letting go of the bitterness of what happened in the past, so that you can make the present right and, you know, you can move on with the peace and the joy back, as it were.
Okay. So, Mpundisi, what are some common misconceptions about forgiveness? Because sometimes you feel like, hey, forgiving, it means forgetting. I don't know if that is true. Or we feel like, you know, forgiveness, it means that something did not happen. So what are some common misconceptions about forgiveness, you know, and how can these families address them when teaching the importance of forgiveness?
All right. I'm going to talk about maybe 6 or 7 of them. Number one of the most common misconceptions in families is that forgiving means forgetting. There's a difference between forgiving and forgetting. The difference is you can forgive, but if you forget what happened, then you will not learn to be careful the next time. So you can forgive, you can let go of the bitterness for the sake of the goodness of today, but you cannot forget what happened for the sake of the lesson you have to do tomorrow. So that is a misconception a lot of us have, that when you forgive someone, you have to forget whatever they did to you in the past. If you forget, then you not know how to treat them the next time, because you have to treat them with caution the next time. So never forget, but always forgive. Forgetting is one of the hardest part in the cave. Misconception number two is that forgiveness is a sign of weakness. A lot of people in the family think as though forgiveness is a tool of the weak. But in the actual sense, it is the strength, it is the courage, you know, it empowers an individual. Forgiveness is not a weakness, but forgiveness is the strength and the courage that everyone needs for them to move on. Actually, one of the writers say that forgiveness is actually a strength that allows growth and healing. Where there is no forgiveness, there is no growth and there is no healing. So it is not really a weakness, as some may think, that we forgive, you are weak. But actually, when you forgive, you are more strong, because you have the energy that you need for you to move on. Misconception number three is that forgiveness condones the wrongdoing.
Okay.
A lot of people in the family think as though when you forgive, you are actually encouraging the wrongdoings that are happening, especially in the family circle. You find a family and a family member, maybe the father and the daughter, they are not in good boots. Probably the daughter did something wrong. Then the father deliberately tries to forgive. The mother might take that as, you know, as the father is encouraging the daughter to do the wrong. In the actual sense, it forgiveness wants to show the wrongdoer that there is a better way of doing something without doing wrong to the other. Meaning, it is not condemning the evil. It is not condoning the evil, but a better way to teach someone that you can do the right and you can do something well without offending someone. Misconception number four is that forgiveness requires reconciliation. Now, there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. To forgive is to let go of the bitterness for the sake of the betterment of today. To reconcile is to restore a relationship or what that was lost due to the wrongdoing that happened some time back. Now, you can forgive without reconciling. I'll give you an example. When God forgives us of our sins, He does not reconcile the relationship between us, between Him and the sin we had. He lets go of the sin because we've started to repent. He forgives us of the sin, but He does not, you know, He does not restore the relationship of us and the sin that we had. You can forgive someone today, but you cannot, you know, you can decide not to restore the relationship. Maybe because of some certain reasons like trust and other reasons, but forgiveness doesn't really mean reconciliation. Misconception number five is that forgiveness happens instantly. This one is a lie. There is no forgiveness that happens instantly. I forgive you, it happens. Maybe God. With us human beings, forgiveness takes time. It is actually a process. It is not a 1 minute snap that happens, bah, and it happens. No. Forgiveness is a process. There's a process of healing. You know, letting go of something that really hurts is not something that you can just, because it deals with emotion. So for you to forgive, it's a process that one has to learn and they have to live to understand, because forgiveness deals with acceptance. You have to accept that something happened, and accepting is not really easy. That one you can accept with me. Accepting that this happened the way it happened is not really easy.
True.
Number six, misconception number six. Misconception number six is that forgiveness is a benefit only to the offender.
Okay.
A lot of us, we think and feel as if when we forgive someone, we are benefiting those that did wrong to us. No. I'll give an example of Paul and Silas as they're in the prison. That man who was the prison keeper, as he was at the door of a prison, he didn't have freedom also. In as much as he kept Paul and Silas in prison, he also didn't have freedom. Why? Because his duty was to stay at the gate of the prison. Meaning, the more he keeps them in a prison, the more he's at a prison also. Meaning, he doesn't have freedom. Meaning, if the one who offended is not forgiven, meaning you who not forgiven the offender, you are also in a prison of not forgiving.
Okay.
You will stay at the door of a grudge forever until you forgive. So it is not only a one-sided thing, but it is a two-way thing where you forgive, they have freedom, you have freedom. It benefits the both. That is how forgiveness is.
Yeah.
Misconception number four, where I'm going to end from, is forgiveness means excusing or minimizing the wrongdoing. One thing that is true is that when you forgive someone, it does not mean it is an excuse or it's a justification for the wrongdoing they did. When someone is forgiven, it doesn't mean that they were right for doing the wrong. No, that's a misconception. And when someone is forgiven, it does not mean maybe they deserve the forgiveness, but it is an act that has to grant peace. You know, it's an act that when you do it, it is not an excuse for the wrongdoing. It is actually accepting the wrong, that the wrong happened.
Yeah.
You accept that the wrong happened, but you decide to let it go. But it doesn't mean that maybe they were probably just you know, accused of doing the wrong. If they don't accept the wrong, then forgiveness won't happen. But you have to accept they did wrong and you have to let it go.
Yeah.
That is forgiveness. So those are the seven misconceptions I would bring about or bring across about forgiveness.
Yes. So as parents, Mpundiswami, you know, we are parents here. Some of us have issues, you know, of forgiveness from our parents, you know, past traumas and everything else. But now how can we model forgiveness to our children, with our relationships with our children and with other family members? And what impact does this have on children and their family members? Because I think there are families that even sit down now when their children are old, like, okay, let's iron it out. You know, you did this, you did this, I forgive you and everything else. Whilst others, they still have those saying, so-and-so hurt me, you know. Yes, back a family member, they've not forgiven. But now I'm a parent. How do I now teach forgiveness whilst I'm struggling with it?
All right. Ways in which we can model forgiveness, in especially in the family setup. One thing that is hard is to teach something that you've not done. It is hard to tell someone, go this direction, when you don't know what's in the direction you're telling them to go. That is why one of the best sermons someone can preach is a lifestyle that you've lived and telling someone to live it, just like Jesus did. So as a parent that you are, the best way, number one, you can model forgiveness is by leading by example. Especially when you have children, because number one, children learn through imitation. What they see is what they do, because the Bible says, by beholding we become changed, meaning the power of sight of what we see gives us a transformation in some way. So if you as a parent can lead by example, forgiving a grudge, and your children can see that you've forgiven a grudge, they would follow the same direction. Trust me, I've seen dad in some certain instances where he's not in good terms with his brothers, then he's the one who's been offended. Then he'll just, you know, he'll just let it slide and let the brothers continue what they're doing. He let it slide. He forgives them, even though they don't ask for forgiveness. He just forgives them and says, then that always tells me something, that some battles, for you to win them, you have to lose them.
Okay.
You can show that to your children by losing a battle in order for you to win. Yeah, because look at, I'll give you an example of Jacob. When he's with an angel, wrestling with an angel.
Yeah.
When Jacob's joint was dislocated, he lost the battle, but he went back with a blessing and he was victorious for losing a battle. That's how God works. You know, there are some instances where you have to lose for you to gain. And you have to show that to your children, that in as much as you are making a loss in some way, you are gaining the freedom for them and their future. And the more they learn that from you, the more they learn how to forgive. So number one, lead by example. Number two, encourage open dialogues. You know, when you are talking about matters of forgiveness, when you are teaching your children about forgiveness, bring them close. You know, when you are dialoguing with probably your cousins, your dad, and your relatives, show them that there's a better way of solving issues than holding a grudge. You know, a grudge is something that puts someone in a prison that they cannot get out.
Yeah.
One man says the best way to keep someone longest in a prison is them not knowing they're in a prison.
Oh.
So when you keep a grudge, you don't know you're in a prison, yet you're going to stay long in that prison because you don't know you're in a prison.
Mm.
And if you don't know you're in a prison, how are you going to get out of something that you don't know?
Mm.
It's impossible. So you have to encourage a dialogue where you bring your children, teach them how to dialogue. Tell them there's always a better way of sorting out issues than holding a grudge. Mind you, no one knows what tomorrow holds.
Yes.
God can bless anybody. And the ones that you are holding a grudge with might be the one that will carry the blessing tomorrow.
Mm.
Therefore, as you deal with these issues, you have to know that no one knows tomorrow. Look at Mephibosheth and Ziba. Mm. They're not in good terms. Mephibosheth and Ziba. The time David ascends to the throne, he brings Mephibosheth as one of the people who are going to be eating on the throne. Then look at the grudge Ziba had with Mephibosheth. How are you going to ask for bread on the table when the one eating the bread is the one you don't want to forgive? It's impossible.
Mm.
So it's better you teach them that there's always a better way of sorting out issues than everyone else going with a grudge.
Mm.
Number two, number three, practice active listening.
Okay.
You know, well, much matters of forgiveness are concerned, especially in family setups.
Mm.
You find that as you're trying to dialogue, there is one who is more talkative than the other.
Mm.
And if you all want to be talkative and, you know, you all trying to be defensive about what's just happening.
Mm.
There's this notion that everyone wants to be defensive. You know, you want to prove that you are right and whatnot. The more you do that, the more you delay the process of forgiveness.
Mm.
For you to teach your children forgiveness, practice active listening.
Mm.
When someone is speaking, give them time to speak.
Mm.
Teach your children, say, there is more wisdom in listening than in speaking. The Bible says, be slow to speak and fast to listen, meaning you have to be quick to listen.
Yes.
Listen to their views, then speak, be a person of few words. Mm. Actually, one way to gain respect and one way to command respect from people is by being a person of few words.
Mm.
I remember one of my friends always tells me this, that a fool is not known unless they speak. If a fool is dressed smartly and they come, you think this one is the most wisest person on earth. Allow them to speak. You see what they'll speak. That's when you know this one is a fool.
Mm.
So as you are dealing with matters of forgiveness, you have to practice active listening. Listen carefully. And as you listen carefully at the end, Ota, be a person of few words and your children are going to learn from that.
Mm.
Number four, teach empathy. You know, you have to help, you have to teach the family, or especially the children, you have to teach them that, you know, forgiveness is as a result of the heart, mm-hmm. having the ability of letting go what's in mm-hmm. the heart. Empathy has to deal with emotions, you know. You have to have a heart of knowing, saying, the more I put this one in a prison, the more I'm in a prison too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to let it go. The better to let it go. Number five is problem solving. Teach problem solving skills to your children.
Mm.
You know, there are these old tactics that parents had in those olden days. I don't know if parents still do them now.
Yeah.
Where the parent and his friend, they're not in good boots. Then when the children come, they smile and everything is okay there. When they go somewhere in the closets, the fight begins. You know, growing up as a child. I've never seen mom and dad argue.
Mm.
When I was a child, I've never seen them argue. But that doesn't mean they never had arguments.
Mm.
But one of the problem-solving skills they had was to smile whenever we are there. That we can know that there's always a way to build happiness in a home.
Mm.
I don't know whether they went to fight wherever they went in the closet. But then the thing is, those skills are what children need.
Mm.
Teach them that there is love at home. Let them feel that, you know, home is home. And let them feel that, you know, there's a sense of belonging home.
Mm.
So teach them problem-solving skills.
Yeah.
Number seven. Provide opportunities for reconciliation in families.
Mm.
Bring them together, teach them how it's done. Do it. You know, there's what we call the mentorship program, where they pass it on, where you do it, they watch. You do it, they help. They do it, you help. They do it, you watch. That's the four step thing. You do it, they watch you do the forgiveness. Number one. Number two, you do it, they help you do the forgiveness.
Okay.
Then the table turns, they do it, you help them do the forgiveness. Then the last part is they do it, you watch them do it, and they do it perfectly now. That's how we can model forgiveness. The last but not the least I'll talk about, because the list is ongoing, is celebrate every progress. One of the ways to encourage children to do the right thing always is to celebrate the progress they do. Like every achievement they do, do it, celebrate it. Whatever they achieve, celebrate. If they're able to forgive one of their friends or one of their sisters or one of their brothers, celebrate it and show them that you are happy that they are forgiven. Give them support. Children always need support. Give them support all the time and encourage them to do the right thing always.
Yeah.
And as you do that, always avoid using statements that are offensive when trying to offer forgiveness.
Yeah.
And never be boastful about forgiveness. One of the things that I would love to emphasize this morning is never be boastful for forgiveness. Simply because you've forgiven someone, you want to now make it, you want everyone to know that you are the one who's forgiven. And you'll be like, no, after I forgave you last time. You know, those such statements are very offensive. So it's better you avoid such boastful statements when forgiveness is raised. I think those are one of the few strategies that we can look at when matters of forgiveness are brought to book.
Yeah. Yeah, ne, it's a lot to put this one. And you know, I'm happy that you know you're saying that we must show it to the children that we do forgive, and saying that, you know, one of those misconceptions that you touched on, that it's not true, you know, that forgiveness is a quick thing. And I think people prioritize, you sort of pressurize people, say forgive me now, you know. But no, it's not that fast. It's not 2 minute noodles, you know.
That
we put in the microwave, in 2 minutes the food is ready. It's not like that, you know. It's a process. So no, we really need to go back and look at that. Some point is, we're going to have to end it here for today. I do know that whenever we're speaking about forgiveness, you know, it requires a lot of time. But for today, we're going to end it here. But before you go, Mpundiswa, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray that we do have a forgiving spirit, or we have an understanding of forgiveness when it pertains to our lives.
All right, let's pray together. We're praying. Our gracious, loving Father, thank you this morning, for you have given us a privilege to discuss matters to do with forgiveness. A lot of us in our families, we are moving with bitter hearts. And in our workplaces, we are bitter, and we cannot even talk to certain people because of what happened in the past. But thank you, dear Jesus, because you've taught us today through the instructions of the Holy Spirit that we can forgive and decide to let go, that we can have freedom also. This morning, we want to plead and ask that, Lord, help us to understand forgiveness in full. I pray, Father, that may the Holy Spirit create a heart in us that will teach us how to forgive. May the Holy Spirit create a heart in us that is going to prompt us to forgive, even when we are the ones offended. And above all, may the Holy Spirit teach us to show our children and our families that there is a better way to solve issues than holding a grudge. We want to pray now that, Lord, from now going henceforth, may we live under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And we also pray that may our days be productive. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day and a blessed Sabbath.
Thank you very much, and happy Sabbath to you too.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.